It is time for your KDNK local newscast for this Thursday morning, December 1st. I'm Steve Cole, broadcasting live from the heart of our Carbondale Creative District. A new rule from the U.S. Department of Labor that would have made millions of employees eligible for overtime pay was blocked by a temporary injunction before it could take effect today. News Director Gavin Dahl spoke with Rennie Fagan, President and CEO of the Colorado Nonprofit Association, about overtime pay and the minimum wage.
Colorado Nonprofit Association has about 1,300 nonprofit members across the state. We provide training programs and other knowledge-based resources that help nonprofits succeed in their mission. And we also do a lot of advocacy work on behalf of all nonprofits at the state legislature and also with Congress on tax incentives for charitable giving and the regulation of nonprofits. And also we follow all the laws related to the workplace for a nonprofit organization.
Why is the subject of overtime pay so significant to Colorado nonprofits?
Overtime pay for the positions that would have been affected, which are exempt positions, they're important to any organization. So an exempt position, roughly, one can think of that as a manager, a professional, person whose job involves discretion and independent judgment. And so the purpose of the proposed rule was to help increase the pay for that category of employees. Many nonprofit organizations, their executive directors are working many hours or they have other exempt positions that also work many hours, and those organizations would have been affected. In general, nonprofit work is hard. It takes a lot of creativity. It takes a lot of skill. And so from the nonprofit standpoint, having a higher level of pay is important because it helps individuals, particularly those with families, to stay in the nonprofit sector. On the other hand, higher payroll, of course, requires more money to be raised or earned by the organization.
Basically, the Obama administration wanted to double the salary cap for workers eligible for overtime pay. Anyone making $47,500 or less annually would have had to be paid time and a half for every hour exceeding 40 in a given week. Did Colorado Nonprofit Association have a position on this specific new rule in terms of your public policy work?
We did not take a position on the rule. Instead, we spent a lot of effort trying to educate nonprofits about how to apply the rule. And so throughout the course of the summer and fall, we held many training programs across the state. Raising the overall pay of the nonprofit workforce is a good thing. And we wanted nonprofits to be able to be prepared for how to do that with their workforce. At the same time, the association also advocates for more charitable giving in Colorado. And also we're active at the state and federal level to make sure that government contracts are adequately compensating nonprofits who do work on behalf of the government. So we're trying to work on the revenue side of what it costs to pay employees.
And so for now, employers are not required to make any changes. But as of January 1st, Colorado employers as a whole, you know, nonprofits and for-profits, will be required to pay $9.30 an hour to comply with the new minimum wage standards approved by voters. Can you talk about your organization's position on Amendment 70, which passed?
Colorado Nonprofit Association supported Amendment 70, and we did that for two reasons. One is many nonprofit organizations work with individuals and families that have just don't have sustainable incomes. So they're in low-wage jobs, many times working for different employers and part-time low-wage jobs. So by increasing the minimum wage, that will lead to more economic sustainability for individuals and families, and that's a good thing. And secondly, again, the nonprofit workforce benefits, too, to the extent that there are minimum wage jobs in the nonprofit organization. So our goal is to help increase the wage and economic self-sufficiency and sustainability of Coloradans, and we hope that Amendment 70 will do that.
My guest is Rennie Fagan, President and CEO of the Colorado Nonprofit Association. You can find them on Facebook by searching Colorado Nonprofits. Thanks so much for speaking with KDNK.
Thanks for having me.
Aspen Mayor Steve Scadron is among dozens of mayors to sign onto an open letter to Donald Trump calling for action to fight climate change. KDNK News Director Gavin Dahl spoke to City of Aspen Climate Action Manager Ashley Pearl to learn more.
One of the biggest things we're seeing is that we have about a month less of winter than we did before 1980. So that's pretty rapid change. So because we're seeing the changes locally, we feel like we first and foremost need to take care of our own house, so get our carbon footprint under control. But then secondly, we need to be really vocal on the state level, the national level, and the global level, because Aspen's climate future is dependent on what all the other countries and all the other cities do across the world. So we're trying to do our part and then inspire change in others so that climate will impact Aspen less in the long run. So that's why we feel like it's really important to do local work, but then at a national level, we just have to share our story, share our voice, and be really vocal and let folks know that it's definitely a topic that Americans care about. And by addressing climate change, we can address a lot of other national issues as well.
One of Donald Trump's senior advisors on science, Bob Walker, has called for eliminating all climate research at NASA. What's your response to an elected leader like Trump maintaining in 2016 that climate change is a hoax? I mean, we see a lot of legislators in Colorado saying this as well, despite overwhelming evidence that burning fossil fuels and deforestation cause the release of heat-trapping gases, which are warming the planet.
I think that's a tough one. How do I feel? Sometimes I feel very disappointed. It can be really frustrating that something that is so science-based and very proven has become so politicized. It's frustrating that America is at this point right now. But what I've really been empowered by in the face of that frustration is that although we won't see much action over the next few years at the federal level, cities and communities are really going to be the place where all this work is happening. So mayors and even state government are going to be able to make a lot of stuff happen. And when we signed on to the Paris Accord and the COP21 agreement, you know, we were hoping to get there as a nation through some of the Clean Power Plan programs. But more than anything, the federal government was looking to the combined efforts of cities in the U.S. to actually reach those goals that we said that we would work towards. Yes, the eye is turning away from federal government. There's not that much hope that we'll see climate policy there for the next 4 years. But the eye is actually turning, and the spotlight is really on local communities and cities and what we really can do at a local level being impactful on a global scale.
My guest is Ashley Pearl. Can you talk about your own role as climate action manager for the city of Aspen, and what is the Canary Initiative?
So the Canary Initiative was formed in 2005. It's a City of Aspen department, and we focus on all things climate and energy related. So we do three things, and pretty much three things only. We focus on reducing greenhouse gases here at home. So we're involved in the transportation sector, the building sector. We give out a lot of money and a lot of help to homeowners or businesses that want to reduce energy. So that's what we do first. And then secondly, we try and tell that story. So we spend a lot of time at the state capitol and in D.C. and just telling people about this place that they love, people have fallen in love with all over the world, and letting them know how climate is impacting us. And then hopefully having our successes in sustainability be an inspiring example for others to follow. And then third, we oversee the climate preparedness program. When we look at Aspen 2050 and we have all this great data to tell us what Aspen will look like with a changing climate, like energy, water, health, streets, roads, bridges, things like that. And so we're really looking at what we can do now so that in 2050 we're prepared for this different future that we have so that we don't wait until it's too late to make these large infrastructure improvements or policy changes that'll help us be a more prepared and more vibrant community well into the future.
So a few months ago, we spoke to Eagle County Commissioner Jill Ryan about the new coalition CC4CA, Colorado Communities for Climate Action. 12 local governments have joined the effort, including Eagle County, Pitkin County, Aspen, Vail, and Telluride, with a focus on advocacy at the state legislature, the Public Utilities Commission, and beyond. Have the members of CC4CA agreed on policy priorities with the General Assembly back in session about a month from now?
We have. CC4CA represents a really great direction at the state level. First and foremost, it just represents a great partnership between communities in Colorado, and hopefully will represent a much louder voice and a more impactful voice at the state capitol this coming session. So we did get together and we agreed on our policy priorities. I believe there's over 20. So these will be our guiding policies for the next few years. So we're not hoping to accomplish everything in year one. In the first year, you'll probably see CC4CA doing a little bit more of relationship building and letting folks know what our brand is all about and what we're interested in doing. You probably won't see us champion too many bills right away. We're going to do kind of the first year, probably support things that make sense, fight things that could be really detrimental to our communities, and then just get to have a voice and a face at the state capitol so that people start to come to us and know that these groups of cities are there, and our thing is climate, and we hope that people will engage with us.
Ashley Pearl is Climate Action Manager for the City of Aspen, heading up the Canary Initiative and fighting for climate change policy that protects our communities. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
For KDNK, I'm Gavin Dahl.
Colorado lawmakers are already preparing for possible changes from the incoming Trump administration, as Bent Berkland reports. Senate Republicans are creating a new select committee on energy and the environment.
The committee will be made up of three Republicans and two Democrats and will hold at least three hearings during the legislative session. But the group won't be assigned bills or pass legislation. Republican Senator Ray Scott of Grand Junction will chair the committee and says the goal is to hear from experts and gather information.
So what we thought is we'd be proactive instead of reactive to what may be happening nationally, that we needed to have conversations about everything, wind, solar, gas, oil, all those things, coal, we need to talk about all those different energy groups.
President-elect Trump has said he wants to drastically change the country's course on climate and energy. For instance, stopping all tax dollars to go towards UN climate programs and lifting restrictions on oil and gas development. Scott says there's still a lot of uncertainty, but he hopes the committee will help lawmakers and the public get a better handle on the issues. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Church groups are voicing their support for new BLM rules curbing methane waste and call the effort an important step in providing better stewardship of, quote, a finite gift of God's creation. Eric Galatis reports.
Leaders from the faith community in Colorado and across the Southwest are sending a letter today to President Barack Obama and Interior Secretary Sally Jewell, thanking them for adopting new rules to limit methane waste on public and tribal lands. The letter says the policy is in sync with church efforts to counter wasteful attitudes and behaviors that Pope Francis has called a throwaway culture. Adrian Miller is executive director of the Colorado Council of Churches, one of some 25 groups to sign the letter.
People of faith do care about God's creation and about being better stewards of the earth, but we also are mindful that this is an important industry, and we like this rule because we think it strikes a good balance.
He says the oil and gas industry is critical for Colorado's economy, particularly in rural areas, and says limiting waste can increase production. President-elect Donald Trump hasn't taken a position on methane limits, but has promised to roll back regulations on fossil fuel development. Miller says he hopes the faith community's support for the Bureau of Land Management's rules will help convince the incoming administration to keep them in place. He adds gas lost on public lands isn't processed and brought to market, so reducing waste also means more money from royalties going into tax coffers to help pay for schools, roads, and other needs.
Capturing this methane gas will also help state and local governments. It's win-win for the taxpayers, it's a win-win for those concerned about our environment, and it's also a win-win for companies because it will help them be more efficient in what they do.
The EPA has also set methane pollution limits for new oil and gas production in an effort to improve air quality. According to an Environmental Defense Fund study, $330 million worth of gas is currently lost through leaks, flaring, and venting, enough energy to supply a city the size of Denver for a year. For KDNK, I'm Eric Galatis.